I'm pretty sure Garrett just called all of us out, so I don't really know how to back that up. But we've had some good preaching, amen. But and actually, Garrett stole my text, so praise the Lord. But so turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. All right, and I'm going to start reading. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. All right, and my message tonight is stay in the game. And I actually got this message, this outline, while I was at conference this week. And I'll be real quick. I know we're ready to go, but y'all just listen, and I'll be real quick. Number one, why we get out. And then I have a few things to go with that. A, we get hurt. All of us in this room have gotten hurt before. Whether it's been someone might have mocked your Christianity. Maybe a friend has turned his back on you because of your Christianity. Lord forbid, but maybe one of you teenagers who made a decision this week, maybe you went home, and maybe your parents didn't encourage you about that decision. Maybe they didn't, and Lord forbid. And if so, come to one of us. Come to us. We'll encourage you. That's why you have a church family. But and all those things I listed. They hurt. I've been hurt before, and it's not easy to get by, but listen, don't stop, don't quit, don't give up. Yeah. Teenagers, the slogan of the conference was step up to the plate. Listen, stand, step up to the plate. I know it's hard. I know we get hurt. People are going to let you down. People are going to let you down. Yeah. God doesn't let you down. Amen. Listen, stand up to the plate. We get hurt, and we're all guilty of it. Don't sit down and sulk. And I know that's easy, to sit down and sulk about it, and not necessarily get mad at God, but you just sulk about it. Listen, get with God, get down on your knees, pray to Him. He'll work it out. I promise you, He'll work it out. B, we get tired. It's Wednesday. I know it's Wednesday night. We worked all day. I don't really want to get. Some people, you don't want to get all ready for church, amen. You don't want to get dressed. Don't laugh. No. All right. We had a late Saturday night. You had a late Saturday night doing whatever. You don't want to get up early in the morning for Sunday school. Thursday night, it's hot. You don't want to get up. You don't want to go walking down the street, inviting people to church, winning people to Jesus. I know a preacher actually said this week, and it stuck with me as soon as he said it. I know it's hot, but hell is hotter, amen. Amen. Yeah. People, we cannot afford to get tired and fall out. Yeah. If we get tired and people fall out of the ministry, again, we get hurt, we get tired, you get tired of the same thing. If we fall out of the ministry, we cannot afford to get out of the ministry while people by the second are dying and going to hell. By the second. And I'm 17 years old. I don't know a whole lot about politics. I don't know about all that. I just don't. I sit down and talk to my dad about it sometimes, and I'm just like, right? But I do know we're not in a good state right now, amen. Yeah. We're going down a bad road. And I see all these people, older people, they want to sit down and complain about it, but they're not doing anything. Right. And I'm 17 years old. I don't know. I don't have any life experience, but I'm watching, and they're sitting there. And they want to sit and complain about it, but they don't do anything.
Yeah.
It's not going to get better.
Yeah.
We're sitting here, and we want to complain about it and expect somebody else to go, win America back. It's not going to happen.
Right. Yeah.
God called us to go out.
Amen.
The reason America is like it is because we did nothing.
Right.
That is the reason it is. It is our fault because we didn't get out and we didn't get on fire. We didn't go win these people to Christ. It got pretty good. So we said, hey, it's pretty good. Our church has got a big enough crowd. America's doing fine. And look where we're at now.
Yeah.
All right. See? Some get ejected. Listen. We have to be careful about what sin we let in our life. Man, we got to be careful about what comes across that TV screen. We got to be careful what comes into our phone screen. Girls, ladies, we got to be careful about what we wear.
Yeah.
And maybe as a guy walks past, we got to be careful about who we give our attention to.
Yeah.
We got, because once the pornography starts, once the impure dressing starts, and we all, teenagers and adults alike, we got to be careful about what we put in our body.
Right.
I said, once the pornography starts, once the impure dressing starts, once the drinking starts, once the smoking starts, once the cussing starts, all that spirals in and it takes over your life. And it starts at the little things.
Yeah.
It starts at the little things. I'll put on some pants. I'll put on a short. It's still a skirt, but it's short. The only reason you're doing that is to get attention from God's. And they'll take that attention. And you'll take it. God, soon as we start, oh, I'm just with my friends. I'm going to take one quick drink. Maybe I'm frustrated. I'm going to smoke one little thing to look cool. It won't stop with one.
Yeah.
And right. And especially, we've heard it preached on several times. We heard it preached on several times at conference. There's a lot of guys in here. The flesh works a certain way.
Yeah.
Once we entertain the thought of looking at that stuff, it takes over our life.
Yeah.
It takes it up because you're never going to be pleased with anything.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you can go down a wrong road. Sin will get you completely out of the game. And I'm not saying we're not going to make mistakes. And I'm not saying you can't get back. But how much easier would it be if we never went out?
Yeah. Yeah.
If we never had to come back. If the whole time we didn't take 10 years to do our own thing. The whole time we just served God. We just serve God with it. We never got it. And like I said, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. And I realized something this week. How do we stop from making those mistakes? We got to stay in the book.
Yeah.
And I haven't been a faithful Bible reader. I have not. But since we got back from conference, and even at conference, and I'm going to hit this later so I don't want to go too deep into it. But if we don't stay in this book and we don't pray, then nothing's convicting us to not do those things.
Yeah.
We can come to church Sunday morning. The filth of the world is filling our minds Sunday afternoon. And then we come back for Sunday night. Then we got Monday, Tuesday, and all day Wednesday. Then we got Wednesday night, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Again, the world we're living in, your mind is going to be filled with filth. The only way to keep it out and to be able to fight that is to stay in his word. But all right, that was number one. And number two, why we stay in. Number eight, your coach needs you. Listen, God drafted us. He saved us. We have to do the best to our abilities to serve Jesus Christ. He needs us. He didn't, it says in his word, if we, and the pastor, let me hit this real quick. The pastor and the assistant pastor, they can't do it on their own.
Yeah.
Like if we, they can't knock every door in DeSoto County on their own. And I was about to say something good. What was that? There we are. God commands us. If we, and we're all guilty of doing this. I won't make it, but so and so will be there. I can't make it. So and so will be there. I won't. I'm not showing myself for Christ while I'm out. I'm not doing it, but he is. That should be good enough. If all of us point at somebody else and think if those people are pointing at us, nothing's getting done. Nobody's winning people to Christ.
Right.
Nobody's getting in church. Nobody's getting saved. And again, I said, then we're back to America how it is. We're not doing what we're supposed to do.
Right.
And just, no, Sorry, and there we go. And we all want that new sanctuary. I know we all do. We all want the church to explode. We all want the church to boom where we have to get it. That doesn't happen by just him. That doesn't happen by just Brother Nichols. That doesn't happen by the few people we have soul winning each week.
Yeah.
It's going to take all of us to get on fire for God. Teenagers, we just got back from conference. A lot of churches that boom and get on fire for God are because of the teenagers.
Right.
Teenagers, we have to, and I'm not trying to call anybody out, if the older people are not going to do it, then it falls on us to do it. Yeah. My dad said something earlier, or a few days ago. The older folk in the church, this church has been here for 25 years, something like that. They built this church. They were here when there was 10 people. They were here, and now we've got a good amount. Teenagers, now it's our turn. Young adults, now it's our turn to get out. And we don't want to point fingers. Well, they've been here for so many years and they don't do it. We have to do it. It's our turn. It's our turn to go out.
Yeah.
Like Garrett said, he called you out. Some people can't get off for Thursday night sewing. Some people can. Some people can. I know we got more than 10 people who can get off Thursday night and make it here. My mom's smiling at me. She knows I'm calling her out. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. All right. B, all right, I got to hurry up. I know y'all ready to go. B, your team needs you. Listen, we all need Christian encouragement. That is essential in our day-to-day walk with Christ. And listen, if we don't hear Christian encouragement, if we don't hear it often, we will not last.
That's good. Right.
We will not last. If we, you wonder why people drop out of church, and I love our church because we're so welcoming. We're so friendly when people walk in the door. And help us not get guilty of when they come in the door and they're here for a few weeks that we don't stop.
Wow.
Once they get saved, and once you have been saved, we've got to keep them encouraged. We don't need to get in these little cliques. And conference was great, especially for the guys and the girls as well. The younger, the older, there was no cliques. There was a little mishap one day. Guess what? They got that settled. They all went in the room. They started crying. They got that settled, amen. There was no... We had no cliques, and that's how it needs to be. That's how we're going to grow.
Yeah.
There cannot be cliques.
Yeah.
We got this section sitting over here, this section sitting over here. Well, we're not going soul winning if those people are going soul winning. What if we just do that? Or let's go to dinner. The same five people go to dinner. The same five people. What do you think? How do you? They're not going to get involved if we don't involve them.
Yeah.
They're not just going to show up to soul winning. If pastor says one thing on here, they're not gonna show up. Hey man, you wanna go to soul with me? We're going Thursday night. Maybe you can't go Thursday night. Hey, Tuesday morning, we're gonna go soul winning. Just a few of us. You wanna go? Simple as that. We're going to grab a bite to eat. You wanna go? And that makes a world of difference. And something on encouragement, it doesn't even have to be big. Simply using somebody's name, as soon as they come, Brother Joshua Wells, he was given an illustration. He was one of the preachers who worked at the church. I'd only met him a few times and talked to him. He called me up for an illustration, and he used my name. Well, as a teenager, I loved that. There was 400 people in there, and he called my name. You walk up there. He used my name. All the girls are looking at you. Oh, this guy's got it. It does make a difference. I promise you it does.
Yeah.
And also with encouragement, leading by example is encouragement. Everybody's different, but all of us want to strive to be somebody.
Yeah.
Garrett wants to strive to be his dad. Fantastic. Some of us don't have, especially some of the bus kids. Don't get me started on the bus kids. I'll preach all night. Some of them, they don't have a dad to look up to.
Yeah.
They don't have a mom to look up to.
Yeah.
We have got to welcome the bus kids. We got to encourage them.
Yeah.
We have to, because if not, trust me, I see long enough. They come month. And I know they act up in service. They clown. They mess stuff up. You know what they hear every Sunday except for the few people?
Yep.
They get yelled at.
Yep.
They get yelled at.
Yep.
They get talked about. They get stared at. They get yelled at. They don't get hear any encouraging thing. Hey, thanks for being here. They get yelled at. You think they don't hear you complaining about them?
Oh, yeah.
They do. They hear you, I'm telling you. And if you go bus calling with us one Saturday, ride the bus with us Sunday, either one. You see the house and you see the environment they live in.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, they need encouragement. And that's easy for me to say because I look at it. You're not going to get it if you don't talk to them. You don't sit down and get to know them. I'm telling you, you get to know them, and it'll take a little while. But you get to know them, they'll sit down, they'll open up to you.
Yeah.
They'll tell you they're home.
Yeah.
They'll tell Chelsea, we were on the bus ride home, and she just started crying. She started saying, I hope you don't mind me saying this, Chelsea, wherever you are. She said, her dad is not at the house. She's worried about Ashton. She's worried about Bubba. He doesn't have a man in the house to teach him, to encourage him. That's our job.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a daddy at the house. Guys, every time you see Ashton, pat him on the back. And how old's Ashton? He's just 7 years old. If we don't do it now, we ain't going to do it when he's 10. We ain't going to do it when he's 12. Because guess what? When he gets 12, he's going to get worse. When he gets 15, he's going to get worse. When he gets 17, he's going to get worse. They're going to clown even more in church. We start encouraging him now, it'll make a difference, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going too long. I'm sorry. All right, and see to that, the opposing team wants you out.
Yeah.
Listen. The devil is going to fight every single day of your life. The devil is going to fight every single day. And that's why we have to stand up. We have to stand up to the plate. We got to give it all we got to God. Listen, because there are many people out there, the devil's winning. He's got them wrapped around their finger. He's winning. And they don't. Some people, they don't know. Some people, they don't care. And the devil does not want us to win those people. He doesn't want. I hope there's not. It's past 7. It's 7. It's almost 7:40. The devil's getting on some people. Church needs to hurry up. I know. I didn't plan on going this long. I don't know where I was going with that. There we go. He has them out of church. We're in church. We have to go. We have to get them in church.
Yeah.
The devil's probably working on some of y'all right now. I don't know what it may be. Maybe something about this week, something about last week. I have no idea. But the devil works on us all the time. He wants us thrown out of the game. He wants to get us upset. He wants us to get angry. Some people, you see it, they get irritated during a ball game. Especially people who are playing, they'll go arguing with the ump. They're out of there. That's what the devil's doing to us. He wants to get us frustrated. He wants to get us irritated. He wants to get us mad. Because then when we get mad, we get frustrated. And we're so frustrated, we don't take a minute to breathe. We don't take a minute to read the book. We don't take a minute. Then he's got us. We want to get selfish. And we all are selfish. I know I'm selfish. Man, I'm selfish. Ask my mom. I'm sure I am selfish. Amen. The devil wants that, and he gets us irritated, and he knows once he sparks something, once he gets us irritated, he has us. He has us, and that's when we get out. That's when we have church splits. That's when families break apart. That's when all that stuff happens. The opposing team wants you out. And say you do make a mistake. Teenagers, we came back from conference. We all made decisions. I said earlier, we're going to make mistakes.
Yep.
A lot of us, So we went to read our Bible and pray every single day.
Yeah.
I hate getting up early. Brother Nichols hit it in Sunday school. I hate getting up early. Oh, I hate it. Some days I have to be at work at 6. I got to get up at 4:30 to get ready. I got to get up earlier than that because I know when I come home at 2, I'm going to bed. And I will not read my Bible. I'm telling you, I won't. All the times I've tried to read my Bible and said, you know, I'll read it later. I don't read it later. I sit down. Okay, I'll do it in a second. I don't do it in a second. I'll do it in a minute. Never happens. I'll pray tonight. Or I'll pray in a minute. No, you won't.
Yeah.
No, you won't. And since just the few days since I've been back, and I've woke up in the morning, and I've prayed, and I've read my Bible, I can tell the difference. And it doesn't take, once you read it in the morning, all that, I'm done for the day. And not that you can't read it even more in the day, but all day you don't have that, I got to read my Bible. I got to find a time. You get up in the morning, you read it, you pray, I'm telling you, your day will be so much better. It feels like you don't wake up with any weight on your shoulders. No, it's fantastic. I'm not saying you won't mess up, but what a great way to start the day.
Yeah.
And what a great way to irritate the devil when you get up and you're already starting.
Yeah.
You're already starting. So you've already got that. You already, for sports, you already drank that Gatorade. You're ready. You already worked out for a second. You already did all that. So you're ready to go. You're ready to fight. But, and I promise you, stay faithful. Even if you make a mistake, jump right back up. Start at it again. Be faithful. And I promise you, you can be victorious. I promise you. But, all right. And then just one last thing. I got 7 quick things. Quick. I promise you they're quick. I promise you they're quick. Amen. All right. How to stay in the game is my third one. Let me read Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily to beset us, and let us run with patience the race that set before us. A, how to stay in the game. And a lot of this I've hit already. A, have faith. You may be going through some stuff. You may be going through stuff with your family, with your job, with your church. I don't know, but just remember this. God is in control. God knows your burdens. Also remember, he came to this earth. Jesus came to this earth. He knows the struggles of every day. I'm telling you, he knows. He knows your burdens. He knows, and it's hard to say, have faith. You can't tell somebody that. I've heard my dad say many times, you can't tell somebody to have faith. They've got to accept it. And faith, listen, faith is the hardest thing, but it's also the easiest thing. Faith is hard to have, but once you have it, just let it all go. It's the easiest thing in the world. It's the easiest thing in the world. You just let it go. You let God take care of it. B, this one's good. This one hit me right in the middle of a message when we were at conference. Someone is watching you. Whether it's a bus kid, whether it's a family member, whether it's friends, whether it's church members, I don't know. And I could go into each of those, I won't. But you remember every day, someone's watching you.
Right.
You may make the difference in their life. I'm telling you, someone is watching you every day. The little kids, Caleb, Ben, and Ryan, guys, they're watching us. Guys, teenagers, girls, we're watching y'all. We're watching our mom. We're watching the younger folk. Younger folk, they look at the older people in the church. They see if they're still pressing along. They see if they're still pressing along to serve Jesus. Praise the Lord for Brother Glenn.
Amen.
Still serving Jesus, amen. Brother Cecil, he's got a wooden leg. He's still working on Jesus, amen. Someone is watching us, and I promise you, you will make the difference in someone's life. You may never know. Never know. I promise you, you're making the difference in somebody's life.
Yeah.
See, give your weight to God. Brother Garraway, he preached a message along that line, don't carry baggage. And throughout the message, he had a duffel bag on this shoulder, backpack, two suitcases. He's not. We get all this baggage on us, and we think we can still run for Christ. Look at it this way. I love to run. That's fine. I love to race. Me and Zachary are going to come race. Garrett, you get on my back. I'm not going to run as fast. I'm not going to run as far. I'm probably going to collapse in the first 2 seconds. We carry that weight on our back. We carry that weight on our shoulders. And you may think, you may be able to serve. You can still serve. But it's not all of you.
Yeah.
You can't run as fast as you can. You can't run as long when you have that stuff on your back. And like I said, you'll be able to serve in areas. But how much more can you serve when nothing's held back? Nothing on your shoulders, nothing on your back. You're not dragging anything along. Give all your weight to God. I'm telling you, you can. It will make a world of difference while you're serving God. D, get rid of your sin. And I know we all sin. We all sin, and it's not going to stop. But any habits, and like I said, we're all going to sin, but we have habits. And we think we get little things. Dad, I'm going to call us out. Music. Me and my dad are some, we love music. I could sit all kinds. I could sit down and we listen. What you looking at me for, Mom? We could sit down and listen to music all day. All day. We could sit, they hate it. Ask them, David, my mom, they hate it. We could sit there on the chair and listen to music all day. And the problem is, we may not think anything of it. We may justify it, but if it's the wrong music, it's not doing it. I'll tell you what it does. It pleases your flesh.
Yeah.
We talk. You work all day. You're hot. You're aggravated. You don't always want to listen. You don't always want to listen to the Glory Bound Quartet. You don't always want to listen to that Christian music because guess what? That doesn't make you. You don't want to stop being aggravated. You just want to, and I'm hoping I explained this right, you just want to soothe that. You just want your flesh to be soothed. I hope this is making sense. You just want your flesh to be soothed. And I deleted all my music this week. I deleted it all. And I was riding home in the car today listening to some music. Good music, amen. I was driving down the road. I just wanted to start waving my hands in the air. I just want to start praising God.
Amen.
It does a difference. All of it. The music, the praying, the reading your Bible. Every day you stick to that, it will make a difference. Wow, I went off on a rabbit trail. Sorry. But again, whatever it may be, music, maybe drinking, maybe some of the stuff you watch, whatever it is, get rid of it. And I'm not saying we won't make mistakes, and it will be hard. I was in the car, and I love nothing more but to listen to music by myself. Oh, I love it. Because you can just get in there, and you can just sing. And I was in the car right after we got back from conference or the day after. It was just me. I could have flipped that radio on in a second. And I could have. And the devil puts those songs in your head. You don't listen to them for a little bit, he puts them in your head.
Yeah.
And you get to singing along, and then you're like, man, I got to hear that song. No, you don't. Because when you listen to that song, now I got to listen to this one. And look where I've gone through this battle since I've started coming to church. I'll go a while, and I'll listen to nothing but Christian music. One song. I listen to one song. David knows. I still remember this. This was years ago. We had gone a while. We threw all our CDs away. We listened to Christian music nonstop. Somehow, I don't remember where, I heard a song on the radio. I like that. I started listening to more and more. And David said, and he knows I've listened to music and stuff like that. He said, man, you get turned on to that stuff too easy. Something along that, that stuff gets you too early, man. It gets you way too early. I started listening to one song. I wanted to know them all. Once you get rid of it, Get rid of it. Don't leave those CDs sitting on your table. Don't leave that music on your phone, because you will click on it. You will click on it. You will click on it. I'm telling you, get rid of it. Like I said, music, whatever it may be, don't leave those booze in your fridge and say, I'm not going to touch them. Yes, you will. You're going to come home from work, and you're going to grab them. Don't leave that pack of cigarettes in your drawer just in case. Because that day is going to come, and it's going to come quick. Get rid of it and get accountability of it. That's something they preached hard on, and I won't go off on that. I'm sorry. I'm almost done. I'm sorry, guys. We're almost done. Get accountability over it so they can question you on it. They can make sure you're doing it. All right. Three more. I'm done. Very quick. Be patient. You may be waiting for something in your life. I don't know what it is. You may be waiting for something. It may be something you need in your house. Just something you need to buy. Whatever it may be. Something in your spiritual life. I don't know. Keep praying. God knows. Pray about it. I think about the story of Brother Nicholas Trupp. He prayed about it. And he almost said, you know what, we're just going to get this. No. He said, no. He kept praying about it. Lord gave him that truck. Whatever it may be patient for the Lord to work. And it may be small. It may be big. Don't settle because you're impatient. I can't buy anything online. I cannot. I have to go to the store and buy it because it will drive me crazy if I buy anything online. Even if it takes 2 days, that ain't, no. No, I'm going to the store. I'll spend double the money. All right, I'll get up. F, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. How do we do that? How do we do that? And I've hit it several times. I didn't mean to hit it earlier, but I did. Keep your eyes on this. I can't explain it. I know I'm hurrying, Mom. I can't explain it. It will. That's how God gave us this to keep our eyes on Him. God gave us this to talk to Him. God gave us this to see Him every day, to talk to Him. I wrote something down. Where did I put it? I don't know. But I remember it said that the Bible, it tells us what He did for us, what we need to do for Him, and how we do it. The three essential things we need. Keep your eyes on Him. Read. Keep on keeping on for Christ. Keep your eyes on Him. Lastly, simply, the old rugged cross. Amen. The old rugged cross. David hit on it. God loves us. Think of what He did for you every day. He came, He lived the perfect life. So He could die a perfect sacrifice for us. Think of that every day. And I'm telling you, that'll keep you in the game. We owe it to Him. And I don't hate it. I love when a message is preached on what He did for us in hell and everything. But it just irks me. When you think of what He went through, it just makes me clench of what the thorns, the nails, the beating, the spitting. Brother Dave, he'd read a statistic of all the people who spit in his face. It was like a gallon of spit. Think of those things every day. Think of Him dying on the cross, and then, praise the Lord, thank for Him rising up 3 days later. Amen. I'm telling you, think about that every day, and He will keep you in the game. You will. All right, last statement. We owe it to Him to stay in the game. We owe it to Jesus Christ to give it all we got. All right. Thank y'all for listening. That was great. If we can all bow our heads just real quick. We heard some great message tonight, and I know we're tired. I know we're ready to go. We're ready to eat. I know. We heard some great messages from all of us. Great messages. Us teenagers were burdened this week to come back to church and set the church on fire for God. We were all burdened about that. We talked about it in the van. But we can't do that by ourselves. I hope y'all listened. I hope y'all understood with the testimonies, with the juniors, with the teenagers. and saw what was in our heart, and saw God did a work in us. We're in home territory right now. God can do work in you, and you can jump right into it. Y'all be receptive to what the Lord has for you. The pastor's going to come and take the invitation.